Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. Take It From The Iron Woman, we only have special guests. And today we talk to Shannon. She is a marathon swimmer. Who knows what a marathon swimmer is? I know what a marathon in running is. It's 26.2 miles. Shannon can tell us all about it. So welcome and introduce yourself. What do you do and what is marathon swimming? I'm excited.
Thank you, Suzanne, so much for inviting me to be a guest today. I'm thrilled to be here. I'm always usually on the other side of the microphone. Let's start with what a marathon swim. My favorite definition of a marathon swim is it's a state of mind. But by definition, it's considered a 10K or longer swim. And that's the thinking there is that that's roughly 3 hours, theoretically comparable to a time for a marathon run. I would say 10K or longer. As you mentioned, I'm Shannon. I started marathon swimming about a decade ago, or more than that, I guess, in 2009. At the time, I was working for Microsoft, was there for about 9 years working in business intelligence and just work technical support, really kind of supporting the support organization. I was living in Northern Vermont. I grew up a pool swimmer. Didn't really think that much about open water until I was maybe in my 20s, started dabbling in triathlon because it seemed like an outlet for my pool swimming skills. I didn't swim in college or anything like that. And while I was a competent swimmer, I was pretty much hurrying to get out to the bike and the run, even though I wasn't as good of a biker and a runner, because I was pretty much terrified of the environment of swimming. This triathlon start, not my favorite thing. Plus, I was pretty much terrified of open water. I would try to train open water, and it was one of those things I put off until the last minute and despised and was always just afraid of what was in the water. Because I grew up inland too, in the middle of the US, kind of did a little triathlon here and there, but really was not into it. But when I was living in Vermont, I found out about a 1 mile open water swim. I was trying to kind of get back in shape, meet new people. We had just moved there that year, signed up for this 1 mile open water swim. And as I was walking down to the beach to get ready for my event, which started right around noon or something, I'd had my breakfast and coffee and relax. And as I walked down to the beach, I see these people coming out of the water who've been swimming since about 6 in the morning or 5:30 in the morning. They did a 10 mile open water swim. It took my breath away. And I was just like, oh, like what? This is a thing? Like people do this? You know, and I'd heard about the English Channel and whatever, but I didn't realize that just any old person just goes out and there was a whole group of people there swimming this 10 mile open water swim. I was completely captivated and I did my 1 mile and immediately just threw myself into what does it take to be a marathon swimmer? How could I do that too? I think the next year I did the 3 mile and then I did my first 10K that next year in Bermuda, which was where I had to deal with salt water, which was a new thing for me. And sea life. I remember seeing the rays and stuff going under the bridges and stuff and being like, I'm going to swim with those. But just like I could deep breaths. I could do this. It's everywhere. I'm going to be with a bunch of people. It's going to be fine. They kind of just went on from there. I did a 10 mile the next year in Vermont, that 10 mile that I'd seen the finish of.
I don't know. This is so much to take in. I'm a marathon runner. I know how much it takes to get there. I can only imagine the swimming. You mentioned it very nicely. It's a state of mind. And me as an executive coach, I've been teaching. I feel like I'm always running and it's such an active life. The swimming actually is probably my preferred sport because mm-hmm. I do not have to talk anymore. I don't have to talk to anybody. I am alone in the water. You have witnessed a 10 mile open water swim. And now you can also swim down rivers and across lakes for 12 hours and more, and you can do it with other people. I'm more thinking about safety, but then I know when a lot of my friends says, yeah, marathon running is a solo sport. It is a solo sport, but you train together. I can only think that could be the parallel, that you're supporting each other. And it is about safety. You want to make sure everybody swims in a pack, or if you go two people, that you probably want to go with the person who swims at your speed. I did 2.4 miles. I trained a lot. I felt like my fingers were like, I don't know, I become a duck. From 5 kilometers to 10 kilometers, then 10 miles. This is amazing. How do you prepare yourself mentally, probably, and also physically?
This has actually kind of evolved over the course of the last 11, 12 years. I've really, really honed my technique. Initially, when I set out to do it, I knew that I could swim, and I had a good group of people to swim with at the time. And they didn't necessarily want to swim as far as I did, but they'd always meet me at the pool and we'd, you know, do long sets together. The mentally preparing yourself for it is a really big part of it. And it's one of the things actually as a coach now, which like how I got from working in technology to trying to get my coaching going, I think is interesting too, because I feel like I was emboldened through marathon swimming to take on a challenge like being an entrepreneur. And that's not something that I ever would have thought of myself doing or being when I was just a member of a team on a tech team. But like kind of going back to like the coaching, well, like I feel like there's tons of parallels to business too, and working on a team in business. And as a solo marathon swimmer, you have a job to be the swimmer. And it's important who you have on your team to support you, because they're feeding you, they're troubleshooting if there's problems with you, they're helping motivate you, they need to know how to motivate you. Just like in business, you don't want a boss that's whipping you and yelling at you. You want a boss who like who knows how to reach you, I guess is the point. So it's really important when you pick who's on your team for a marathon swim that you pick a person who knows how to motivate you, because not everybody's receptive to even just high praise. Some people like, you got this in you. Let's see what you can do. You've got to figure out as a swimmer, you need to know what motivates you. And you want to pick those people to be on your team for long swims.
All right. I know, again, I'm a novice in this and I can only talk about marathon running. I put on my shoes, I put on my number, I go. That's basically it. And I bring some gels with me and I'm self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. Now I'm learning. It's about support. It's about team. So whoever is listening on the podcast, it's about teamwork. It's about support. It's not only about that one person who swims. And I know that's, again, the marathon running. When the fastest person, Kipchoge, attempted the under 2 hour marathon running, when he finished, and I get goosebumps just telling the story, 159 something, he did it. He said, that was a team effort. Thank you, my team. These were his one of the first words. We did it. We did it. He always said, we. I'm so curious about that team and the support and what you eat and when do you eat.
It is very much a team sport. And that's kind of why I wrote that in my bio. It's like ineptly named as a solo marathon swimming. The idea there, though, is that you're not swimming in packs. You're not, that you get no advantage. There are 10K swims that are kind of run like on a buoy course that could have packs and drafting and thing like that, like maybe what you've seen in triathlon.
Similar in triathlons, and you have a mass, everybody goes and kicks you.
Yes,
so you don't have the kicking.
For some of those 10K races, it's still a little bit of that atmosphere, but you can find events that where you really kind of get to this next, I guess I think of it as this next level. I kind of coach it as like going beyond. So going beyond the competition, you might start with some friends, but at the beginning of this was actually one of the turning points for me and where I realized that this was what I wanted to be doing for the rest of my life. I went to this event in Arizona. I kind of have this competitive side to me that I always like love to hate or hate to love. Like I know it's there because I always want to know how I'm doing, how I'm doing with against others, but I don't want to care. My point is that I went into this event. It was probably just my third year of marathon swimming. And I went to go do this 18-mile swim across a lake in Arizona. I didn't end up making it. One of the memories I have, like I said, that made me want to just keep doing this as sport was forever, was at the beginning of the swim. They're like, okay, ready, go. And somebody says, have a great swim. And I was just like, my heart leaped with joy. I was like, yes. Yeah. Like, let's just all go have a great swim. And it's not a jumping in and we're all trying to swim on top of each other. We're swimming for 18 miles. That's going to be hours and hours and hours out there. And so your mind has to shift to this, like, okay, I mean, you go when you're ready. It doesn't matter, mm-hmm. like 1 minute or 2 minutes out of 18 hour or whatever it's going to be. Like, you go when you're ready and your kayaker's ready and you just start swimming. There's some swims where you just have a kayaker that's with you, and you might leave with a pack of people and you have to find your kayaker. And then that person takes you around the lake. They have your feeds with you.
Tell us what the feeds are. Yes. What do you eat before event? Mm-hmm. If you have a 10K or a 10 miler or then an 18 miler, what do you
difference,
eat?
Right? Yeah. And that's evolved too for me over the years. I started out really wanting, like, I started out my first 10 miles. So I remember wanting to, I'm just kind of a real food person. I kind of like to keep it food real. I didn't want to go get a powder and add water. I think a friend of mine was like, oh yeah, well, his name's escaping, Matthew Webb, who swam the English Channel. He did it on orange juice and mashed potatoes or something. And I've heard since somebody said, oh, and bourbon too, which I didn't bring any bourbon with me, but like, you get potassium at the end mm-hmm. of the day. You need carbohydrate and you need something to help keep you from cramping, electrolytes. And if you're the longer the swim, you end up wanting some protein to kind of keep, like, endure over the duration of the time. I started out trying to do real food. As I started traveling to more swims, I found it was harder to always make what I needed to make before and have it ready. I was started to be afraid because I'd make my own smoothies and I'd put in like spinach and fruit and yogurt. But then I was afraid of things spoiling because you're out there for a long time. So I eventually tried powdered. There's like UCAN and CarboPro and Maxim. There's all these powdered things out there that you're probably familiar with and are really common marathon swimming. And it's just been in the last year or two, I was using UCAN for a long time. I don't like how it tastes. and at the end of the day, I want real food. I'm kind of come all the way full circle. And I'm back to, like, I love grapes in the middle of a swim. They travel well. You can find them pretty much anywhere. Yeah. But like having a cookie treat or something in the morning, because I've swam like overnight, and it's just small things. And maple syrup has become one of my staples, really. It's just like, as a just a tiny little bit, I look forward to it. It's not something I treat myself with when I'm not swimming. I just need a little bit of that and some electrolytes. And then I like kind of have a buffet of some salty snacks and some grapes and some cookies or whatever, various things. And that's
the kayaker has that on the kayak, and then stop a little bit, and then
you stop with a little syrup bottle. This last year I did a 25 kilometer swim in Lake Memphremagog and just had a little pint syrup bottle. I ended up draining the whole thing over the course of the swim. And I had a noon, those little tablets and a water. Yeah. And then I have plain water too, just because I kind of like to wash things down. And we put each of those on a carabiner, tie it to a line. Then your kayaker can throw it out to you. You can take a swig. I call it just my feed knot. It's got all these bottles on it. I take a swig of whatever I feel like. And then they can pull it in, and you can drop it and start swimming again. They pull the line in, and then they just catch back up to you. And it's a little bit different when you have a boat supporting you. So when bigger swims, like some of the swims I've done that have been more on the order of 20 miles or more, having a boat with you where there's a pilot, who's the kayaker inevitably is helping you with directions. But when you do a longer length swim, having a pilot with like GPS and things, or channel swims or things like that, there's somebody that's checking for currents. And then you have a little bit more options of what you can have on your boat, I guess, eating wise.
What do you think when you swim for, you said 18 hours?
Well, yeah, I think my longest to date has been 15 hours. I think a lot about my technique. I think it's because it's become such a foundation of my I train around like efficient technique. I feel like having grown up an age group swimmer, I did miles and miles and miles of not great technique. And now I'm having to reprogram my brain because I've figured out how I can swim more efficiently. For me, just putting yards in that aren't quality yards, that's not a time well spent as swimming perfectly. I mean, I do end up getting the distances in, but the short of it is, I think a lot about my technique. I let my mind wander. I think about solving all the world's problems. I can do all that while I'm swimming. I think a lot about my clients. I have clients all over the world, and they've come to me at various times throughout my journey in the last, since I think 2017. I think about kids that I teach swimming lessons to kids in my neighborhood. And I think about kids that I swim and what I told them and what, oh, I should have told them this. And think about my own kids. I've got two little boys that are 4 and 6. And I think about what they're doing and think about everything in the world and nothing all at the same time. I wish I could say I could be that person that can just center and like let my mind go blank. I'm still working on it.
We all solve the world's problem when you are alone and it's a long distance. Thank you so much, Shannon. This was really exciting. Now I want to go and swim. Yeah. How cool was that? What are you taking away? It's about the support. It's about that teamwork. I never thought of that. For me, swimming is always alone. What can we learn from her? So much. Take it from the Iron Woman. We have episodes every Monday, every Wednesday. There's something for everybody, from swimming to running to biking to authors to coaches. And Take It from the Iron Woman is also a book. Download it, read it, reach out to me, learn more about my journey from Switzerland to New York to Kilimanjaro.